Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Antonio Gibson, number four, back deep. And this pass coming out. There's your speed depth. There it goes. Oh, there he goes. It's already a new season. The number two draft pick from Ohio State takes it 100 yards.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Oh, that was fun. That was fun. We were all still coming off the high of the Tom Brady statue. You know, still in the refractory period after seeing that big 12-foot monstrosity out there. It's a pretty good statue. I know I was joking, but all in all, I've seen a lot of people have, like, very hot takes about the statue. This statue is the worst statue. Oh, it should have been this. It should have been that. It should have been all these different things. It's a fine statue. Whoever made the statue, whatever your name is, the guy that Tom Brady did the prank call with there with Belichick. What was his name? Paul something? I don't know. You did a good job, buddy. You did a good job. That was not an easy statue to make. And I'm not talking about the pose or the helmet or the uniform. People saying it should have had, like, uniform with colors on it. Don't need that. It's a bronze statue. Bronze is fine. But he got the face. You got the face right. That's hard, man. Tom Brady's too good-looking to mess the face up. If you mess the face up on a Tom Brady statue, do you know how much it's going to get clowned for the rest of eternity? They'll probably take it down. Like, if they had unveiled the statue and Tom Brady looked weird, his face looked weird, it wouldn't have lasted. It wouldn't still be there. Like, it would be at least, you know how the crafts are. If everyone was making fun of it, if everyone was like, what the hell, that looks like, that looks like the Tom Brady courtroom sketch. That doesn't look like actually Tom Brady. And everyone was making fun of it and taking pictures of it and posting them on Instagram and roasting the thing left and right every single day, every single week that they walked in there. You know the craps would have taken it down. You know they would have. So you had to really get it. And he did. He got it. That looks like Tom Brady. It's hard to make a piece of copper or whatever it is look like Tom Brady, you know, or bronze. To sculpt that into a face like Tom Brady, that's basically impossible. And this guy did it. Now, is the head a little too small? It appeared to be. It appeared to be from some of the angles that I saw. However, I saw some other angles in which the head looked totally proportionate. So, I don't know. I have to see it in person, I guess, before I can make a judgment on the size of Tom Brady's head. Either way, statue, I give it like a 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. I think they did a very, very good job with that statue. I think it's in a good place. I like the pose. I like that it looks like Tom Brady. I don't really have any complaints about it. I don't know what else people wanted. I think people secretly, deep down, wanted it to look weird so they could make fun of it. I'm not going to lie to you, folks. Like, that would have been better material for me. I was on the air when they unveiled the statue. If the statue looked weird, that would have been better for me. I would have had more to say. Instead, I had to be like, pretty good, you know? And that's just not the same kind of response, I guess, that people listen for when they listen to me. Anyways, before we could even, you know, finish celebrating this great statue, the Washington Commanders kick away to Travion Henderson, and he takes it to the house. What a run. Saw the crease there, took it up the middle, saw a crease up the right side, and hit that crease, and they was a blur. Really, he was a blur out there. Great to see that. Great to see a kid in his first touch of a football in an NFL game, preseason or not, rip off a play like that. Now, we've seen in the past some Patriots players look great in camp and look great in the preseason, and then never really ever show up again. Now, that's not going to happen here because we're talking about a second-round pick. This kid's going to get opportunities. This kid is going to get opportunities in the passing game. I think he's going to get opportunities in the run game, too. I think there's a pretty good chance that by week 8, Travion Henderson is your main running back. And Stevenson wasn't bad. He averaged about 5 yards a carry when he was out there, Ramondre. And I think this could potentially be a nice bounce-back season for Stevenson. But I think part of what will make it a bounce-back season for a guy like Ramondre Stevenson is Travion Henderson. I think him being a threat out there and just sort of expanding the run game and making it more multidimensional with another weapon out there, that's the type of thing that lifts all the boats in the run game. Now, if Stevenson's still fumbling, you know, and making mistakes, then none of that's going to matter. Whether they have Travion Henderson or it's just Gibson or, you know, some other running back that they bring in, none of that's going to matter. But if he's able to protect the ball and give you, you know, 4 or 5 yards of carry, meanwhile Henderson's out there on third down and he's a big play potential guy, then I think that's good. That's a rising tide that I think is going to lift all boats and make the run game a bit more multidimensional. And Henderson on those kick returns, you got to at least keep him there for a couple of weeks, right? You know, you don't waste something like that. On the other hand, I was watching him run and thinking, man, when's the last time a guy was really breaking him out like this? And you know who I thought of is Marcus Jones, who his rookie year, I was in love with Marcus Jones. I was like, this kid's the future of the team. He's going to be a two-way player. They're going to use him in gadget plays, which they did, by the way, his rookie year. One of those touchdowns he scored was on a screen pass against the Jets, I think. And he was untouchable. Like, I mean, he was just so fat. Like, he left people in the dust. And then he got hurt. And now he's sort of in between. You didn't really see much explosiveness from him last year. You haven't really seen him recapture what you saw in his rookie year. And, you know, the injury's a big part of that. But it just goes to show that, you know, you can watch a guy and start getting some thoughts in your head about what this team can be with him and what he can add to a team and how productive he can be and all that other stuff. And it's just, you know, within a year or two, sometimes those expectations and those things go completely in the dumper. So just the thing to keep in mind. That being said, Travion Henderson, I'm excited for the Travion Henderson era to start here in New England. I think this is going to be a fun time here. And by the way, Drake May, lots to get to in the discussion about him. But before we talk about May, the offense in general, and I'll get to my thoughts on May in the next segment. And again, you can join the conversation here at 617-779-7937. I thought that the passing offense was pretty lame on Friday. Pretty lame. Very check downy, very safe, very short. I remember he threw one long pass to Mac Hollins that Hollins didn't get. And other than that, I just thought that May out there was kind of going through the motions, which, you know, it's the first preseason game of the year, big deal. But oftentimes you don't have your starting quarterback out there for the first preseason game, you know, so it's like if you're going to have him out there, does he need to really work on those check down? Like he was just throwing to Henderson a lot. It seemed like he was mostly just throwing in the flats. And I don't know. I just sort of wondered why that was emphasized in a preseason game. You don't want to go out there and show the whole playbook or anything, but you maybe want to let your quarterback air it out a little bit, you know, see how his downfield balls look, see how some of these new receivers on the team, Kyle Williams, although I feel like Williams wasn't out there with May that much. I feel like I saw Williams out there with Dobbs mostly. But Williams, when he's out there, deep threat, you know, see what you got there. See what kind of chemistry is getting built between these two guys. Let's see what's what. Instead, I didn't really feel like that was happening. It was a lot of running, a lot of checkdowns, a lot of short stuff. And ultimately, I don't think that that's like a problem or anything that you should feel bad about or, you know, Josh McDaniels doesn't know how to run an offense anymore or anything like that. I was a little surprised not to see more of Drake May and more different types of throws. I thought that you might just get some of that and some regular NFL action, you know, not regular season, it's preseason, obviously, but I thought, you know, with the lights on and the pads on and everything else, that you might see a little bit more of that, but you really didn't. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue with our Patriots conversation as well. I do have some thoughts about Drake May and a couple of the plays that he had, including a really ugly strip sack where he lost a fumble, which we'll get to in just a moment, but we have some Red Sox calls still on the line, so let's go ahead and get to them. Rick is in the car. Go ahead, Rick. Oh, Rick? Do we not have Rick anymore, is there?
He's on. He's just not talking.
He's just not there. Rick, don't be shy. Okay, I guess no Rick. Let's try David in Florida. He also has a Sox question. Go ahead, David.
Good morning, Arcan.
Morning, David.
You surprised I'm bothering you on a Sunday?
You never bother me, David. I'd love talking to you, buddy. You couldn't bother me if you wanted to.
That's good to hear. I appreciate that. I don't know how anybody is so confident that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know how anybody is. I mean, yeah, they have a good chance, but nobody can say with any certainty that they're going to make the playoffs because, again, the pitching staff lets them down. They have a number one and they have a closer, and everybody else in between is at best inconsistent. I mean, what is Giolito doing throwing four walks in a row with a wild pitch mixed in? I mean, that's just not winning baseball. That's just...
No, David, it's not, horrible. But you got to admit, Giolito has been awesome for them over the last 2 months. Like, he's been tremendous.
He hasn't been awesome. He's been okay.
For the last two months, he's been odd. No, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball the last 2 months.
But no, he hasn't. He's not the best,
but he's been one of them. He's had an ERA in the ones, under one well, yeah, for part of that.
One
he's
of
been
the
great.
Best. I mean, one of the top 10, one of the top 20, one of the top 30 pitchers.
One of the top five.
No, he hasn't.
In the last 2 months, he was. Yesterday wasn't great, I'll admit, but prior to that, he had been on a very, very good hot streak. You know that, David. You've been calling in. You've been following the team. You know how good Giolito's been. Don't play dumb with me. And that's fine. I mean, okay. Listen, if you think that maybe they need to upgrade at the pitching position, I agree with you. I think they needed to do that as well. And thanks for the call, David. I appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. You can never bother me. But that is, to say that Giolito hasn't been good lately is really missing the forest for the trees here. He's been tremendous. And that was a tough start, and that's why it stands out so much. You know, it stands out when he slips up, because when this team was really rolling, it was rolling because Crochet was Crochet, Bayo was pitching his ass off, and Giolito was pitching his ass off. And if you have those three guys doing that, giving you quality starts, 3 out of 5 turns in the rotation every single week, you're going to go on win streaks. Or, you know, at the very least, you're going to win a bunch of series, and that's what they did. But that's, if you expect that to go on forever, then you're a lot more optimistic than I am, and you're definitely a lot more optimistic than David in Florida, but that's not saying.
Since
6 months.
June 10th, Giolito has a 2.43 ERA in almost 70 innings pitched.
Okay. And it was even better before that. He had one or two rough starts, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. But there was a stretch where in like 7 or 8 starts, he had an ERA under one. Like he was killing it. So that's all. I mean, I'll correct the record when I need to, but that doesn't mean I think that Giolito's all this team needs to go to the World Series. No. They needed to do something else at the deadline, something bigger than Dustin May, and I'm annoyed that they didn't. But we'll continue with Red Sox calls, also Patriots conversation. I am going to get to Drake May here in the next segment, but we'll go wherever. It's Sunday. We're going to take calls and whatever you want to talk about, and I got some emails this weekend that I'll get to later on in the hour as well. We'll switch back to Red Sox, but really, callers, you guys can sort of dictate the show today. It's Sunday. And we're all just enjoying ourselves. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Go ahead and jump on. First, here's Zach Coe to get you caught up on what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
A Roman Anthony game-tying double in the ninth wasn't enough for the Sox. They fall to the Padres 5-4 in 10 innings. Rough start for Lucas Giolito, who went just 4 2/3, allowing 4 runs on 5 hits while walking 6 and striking out 1. They'll look to take the series from the Padres in this afternoon's rubber match. Brian Bayo getting the start opposite Dylan Cease for San Diego. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Coverage gets started at 3:10 with Dan Ball on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Mike Monaco will have the call of the game. First pitch from Petco Park at 4:10. Elsewhere in the AL playoff picture, Yankees beat the Astros 5-4. Mariners beat the Rays 7-4, and the Dodgers beat the AL East leading Blue Jays 9-1. Sox trail the Jays by 3 games for that top spot in the AL East. Patriots preparing for week 2 of the preseason after last night's 48-18 beatdown of the Commanders. They'll head to Minnesota on Wednesday for a pair of joint practices with the Vikings ahead of their second preseason game against those same Vikings on Saturday afternoon. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Christian Arcan show coming up after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com. If you missed any part of the show,
or to have it delivered to your phone daily,
subscribe to The Christian Arcan Show on the Odyssey app,
or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
All right, let's get into DeMario here. No pressure there, getting outside. Get down. I think the arm is coming forward. We're going to see if this is a sack or not.
That's going to be a close one.
Accurate with the ball. Let's get the pop. Oh, he's in. This is what we saw a year ago in preseason. Yeah. Right out of the gate. And that's not even an RPO action, whether it's run or pass option. That's three wide again. And that's going to get a guy like Josh McDaniels excited. And we saw Tom Brady for 18 years. We know Tom's really going to sit in that pocket. But this guy, if it's not there, he's got the option with the legs.
Okay, so you wouldn't really know it from that call, but that was Drake May getting strip sacked at the 10.5-minute mark of the first quarter, 3rd and 7. It's Christian Arcan here, WEEI. We are Boston Sports Original. And it was an ugly, ugly looking play. It was an ugly play for Will Campbell, your rookie left tackle. It was an ugly play for Drake May, who made a terrible decision there and looked ridiculous getting dragged down and then trying to throw the ball, and the ball comes flying out, you know, backwards out of his hand. Just not a good-looking sequence there for anybody. But also, part of the Drake May experience so far. I mean, we're still very early on in this kid's career, okay? He still has a lot of football to play, has a lot of plays to show us, a lot of learning to do, a lot of experience to gain. All that is just, you know, the fact of life. That's how it works in the NFL. I think he's a good QB. I think he's got a lot of tools to be a very, very good quarterback in this league. I know I sound like Bill Belichick now when he's talking about Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's not what I mean. Drake May is, I think, a future star. But this type of stuff. This type of stuff is why people still are hesitant to go 10 toes on the Drake May experience. And these are things that over time you start playing, hopefully, playing right out of your repertoire. And eventually it's like, you know, you forget this type of stuff even ever happened. But for every nice play, and there was a couple of them, including that touchdown run from Drake where he, you know, went up the middle there and got in the end zone, which was a nice run. And I think, me personally, and I know people disagree, but me personally, I think the run game and Drake May with the run game is something that they should not shy away from. That is not something that they should be afraid of. It's not something they should look at and say, oh, it's too much liability here. No, Drake May is a very talented running quarterback. He's a talented runner, period. Forget running quarterback. He's a talented runner with the ball. He's tough to bring down. He's strong. He bounces off tackles. He's fast. You know, he's got a quick first step. He's fast. He's deceptively fast. He runs like upright, so it doesn't look like he's running all that fast, but he's quick. He gets down that sideline, man. And I think that that's something that they should really be considering as like a major part of his game. Not the whole part of his game, but I'm watching this team out there, and it's all run games. It's all short passing. It's all sort of, you know, taking it easy. And I think some of that had to do with the fact that it's the first preseason game, but some of it I think also has to do with the fact that you're not talking about some high-powered offense here. They still have not built that for Drake May. Drake may have the ability to be a quarterback in a high-powered offense, but you have to build a high-powered offense for him to run that way. You can't just throw him in there with Kayshon Booty and Pop Douglas and say, hey, let's have this high-flying downfield offense. It doesn't work like that. Now, Diggs may add an element of this, but Diggs is also 32 years old, coming off of a torn MCL, so, like, you know, you have probably some limits there, too. And that's part of it that I sort of look at and think, well, if this is the type of offense that they're going to run or that they're planning on running, then that's a lot of ground and pound, you know, that's a lot of ground game. And if there's a lot of ground game here, then I want Drake May to be a part of it. I do. I think he's one of their best runners. 617-779-7937. But that was a ugly strip sack. Not a particularly great job on the block there from Campbell. Although it was one of the few times he really got beat in that game, I would say, from what I noticed. And for May, you're getting dragged down. He's trying to, you know, hold the guy off. And then instead of just taking the sack, which when you're, you know, tied up like that, that's what you got to do. He goes, tries to throw a pass, and the ball just doesn't go forward. You know, I mean, that's what happens when you're getting thrown backwards. And he did have someone. I think Henderson was open for a second. By the time May was getting sacked, I don't think anyone was open. But for a second, like, there was a free release into the backfield. And he could have just checked down right away to Henderson like he'd been doing or like he continued to do, I'd say, for most of his time out there. Either way, I've heard many, many people say that Drake May at camp this year has been awesome and that he has improved a ton. And I believe it, and I'm willing to look past a couple of series here where, you know, there was some good and some bad. And I'm not going to make a big deal out of a strip sack, but I will say that before I jump into the idea of him being this, you know, superstar quarterback in year two, I need to see some of that stuff get washed right out of the the program here, right out of the laundry, because this is an ugly play. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones as we have some Red Sox calls. We have some Patriots calls on the line here on the weekend edition of the Christian Arcan Show. As I pull up my line here, let's go ahead to Mike on the Cape, who has a thought on the Tom Brady statue. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning. The morning, Mike. Statue of Tom Brady itself is magnificent. The location, not so much. For example, the statue of the Immaculate Reception is in a high pedestrian traffic location at an airport, so that people walking by who come in from all over the world can wonder, what is that statue about? They can be told that, my friend, is the most highly disputed play in the NFL history. Who's going to see the Brady statue? People with season's tickets, people who go shopping down there, a very small percentage of the population. Great statue, wrong location. Thank you.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. You know what? That's a take I had not heard. I've heard every single take about the statue except that one. no one has said that to me yet. And you know what? I hadn't even really considered it. Who is going to see that, Brady? That's a huge statue. Now, in fairness, there's a lot of traffic down there. You go down to Patriot Place, even in the offseason, I mean, there's a lot of cars. There's a lot going on down there. They got the movie theater. They got concerts. They got, you know, restaurants, hotels, etc. It's busier, obviously, during football season when the Patriots are playing, but there are concerts there all, not all year round, but a lot of the year. And there's MLS, etc. But mostly I would say that, you know, you're talking about a sports statue, and I think sports statues should be kept mostly to sports venues, if you're going to put them there. The Bobby Orr statue makes sense over by the Garden. The Bill Russell statue, I think, should have been at the Garden too. I'm not sure why they decided to put it up there over by, where is it, over by Government Center?
Yeah, weird location. It's kind of like tucked away in a corner too.
Yeah. You know, get Bill down there by the Garden. That's where he should be. That's where Bill Russell became Bill Rose, down at the Boston Garden. What's he up here, by Cambridge Street for? I thought that was strange. But either way, I have always said that, you know, statues for people who are still alive. You're going to put a statue of a guy who's still alive in the airport? I wouldn't do that. It's risky. And I don't think Tom Brady's going to have some big, crazy, controversy later in his life or anything. Unless he starts a cult, which, you know, if he did, he'd get some signups like real fast. If Tom Brady with that statue getting unveiled, like if he that at the end of that thing was like, and by the way, I want everyone to know that I'm moving to a commune in the desert of California somewhere, and we're all gonna wear robes, and we're all gonna live in yurts, and we're all gonna go on vision quest, whatever it is that they do, and you know, whatever they do in cults these days, I have no idea. I assume it's gross, whatever they're doing. If he had said that, I would imagine there would have been at least 100 people who rose and would rise out of their seats and follow him to California in the yurts and go live out there. Fitzy definitely would. Fitzy would have been like the guy signing everybody up. He would have been out there with the clipboard. He would have been like, all right, everybody, we're going. Ted, Andy, it's been nice working with you guys, but I'm going to go join the Tom Brady cult now, so I'll see you later. 617-779-7937. Is Rick back on the line, Zach?
He should be, yeah.
All right, Rick, let's try this again, and if you're not here now, then that's it. Two strikes, you're out. Rick?
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Rick.
All right, brother, listen.
Yes.
Answer me a question with Breslow. When they traded in the offseason Nick York for Quinn Priester, if Priester threw the ball pretty well in spring training, why would you go and unload this guy? Can you give me a clue on this?
And it's not a great one. It's not a great answer. I think, number one, no one expected Quinn Priester to be one of the best pitchers in the National League this year. I mean, I definitely didn't expect that. And I think that there's... For the Red Sox, they had a surplus of pitching depth. You know, they just had a lot of guys. They had, Fitz. They had Sean Newcomb. They had Dobbins. They had all these guys. I think they had Dobbins at the time, and they just decided, you know what, Priester's not going to really get much of an opportunity here. We're going to move on from him, and that's what they ended up getting. So, I think in retrospect, that was a pretty bad move. But at the time, I think we all sort of looked at it similarly, like, okay, you know, with Fitz and some of these other guys, there's just not enough room here for Priester. So they traded him and thought they got something. But, yeah, Priester's been awesome. What a season for him. Breslow, that's an obvious whiff, no question about it.
I just don't understand this. There was many. Even we could have used another high-leverage right-handed reliever with Slayton out just beyond. Why wouldn't they go after Bednar or somebody like this? I don't understand this guy, Breslow, at all. This guy, ready, when it comes to trade, keep him far away from, ready, any type of transaction. This guy's clueless when it comes to trading. I'll leave you on that note.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Rick. Thanks for calling back in. That was a good question, by the way. I mean, the Quinn Priester thing is something that, you know, you sort of forgot about. But that's one of those moves where, you know, when the Red Sox get a move like that, when they trade for some excess pitcher from some team just looking to unload somebody, and it's a young guy that no one really knows and hasn't really done much in the majors, and then all of a sudden, boom, here they are. Carlos Narvaez, for example. It's a great comparison. Carlos Narvaez was just toiling away there in that Yankee system. They had catchers. They didn't need him. They trade him over to Boston. I don't think anything of it. Now, all of a sudden, he's, you know, playing at an all-star caliber level here with the Red Sox. And I think that's, you know, sort of how it works sometimes. You're out there trying to find that diamond in the rough. All of these GMs, they're all tasked with doing the same thing. Can you find guys out there that aren't going to cost much who can be productive? And the way to do that is to sort of take in these guys who were blocked on their teams and their minor league systems. And Priester was an unfortunate side effect from that here, only in reverse for the Red Sox. And, yeah, he's been awesome. The Brewers are one of the best teams in baseball. They have the best record in baseball? I think they do.
Yeah.
Or right up there.
By a
and
wide Quinn margin Priester, at this point.
Oh, is that right? So, yeah,
it's like
and
four
Quinn
or five
Priester,
games.
He's been a big, big part of that. Absolutely. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with our football conversation as we continue to react to what was a tremendous debut in the preseason for Mike Vrabel, for Travion Henderson, for the defense, for everybody. But I also want to talk about some other things that happened in the NFL over the last couple of days, including some old friends like Joe Milton. Some potential new friends like Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, my friends from Colorado, of course, and Kyler Murray, who threw the worst pass I've ever seen in my life. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
know that if you miss any part of the show, you can jump back to listen.
Either on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. Click on the orange listen button.
And rewind to the moments you care about most. The Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Defense to stop the run. Off the play fake, should do a Sanders into the traffic. And it is brought in for a touchdown by Caden Davis.
Tip your hat there, nice throw by Shedeur Sanders.
Ah, yes. Turn that up, Zach. Nothing people like to hear more than the Colorado fight song around here.
Never give in.
Bleep him up, bleep him up. Go see you. That's Ted Johnson, if you're listening. That was for you, buddy. As Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders in the Cleveland Browns. Did you see Shedeur? He looked good. He looked good out there. He threw a BB to the back corner of the end zone. Touchdown to Caden Thomas, I think was the guy's name. I don't know who these backup receivers are on the Browns, but Shedeur looked pretty good. Shedeur had a nice little day out there against the Carolina Panthers, but it was their number one defense. And Sanders handled himself, I thought, pretty well, all things considered. I was expecting him to go out there and get just destroyed. I thought it was going to be one of those situations where he's, like, alienated the offensive line, and so the tackles are just letting the guys go in and hit him, like what happened with Anthony Richardson, allegedly, or, you know, something like that. He'd be throwing it, picks, trying to show off too much or whatever. You know, and listen, I'm a Shedeur Sanders fan, but I understand sort of him and that family and how they want to get their big moments and everything. And listen, Shedeur, aside from some speeding tickets, has been fine. You know, what, does he drive his car too fast in Cleveland? Okay, well, that's Cleveland's problem. He's working his way up that depth chart, and he got the start in that first preseason game, and he looked good. He looked good. He had two touchdown passes, was efficient with the ball, took sacks when, you know, he could have probably made a bad throw. Didn't fumble. Pretty good game, all in all. And I wanted to just mention that because Shedeur Sanders and his drop in the draft was so ridiculous. Like, it was just such a ridiculous thing that happened, not just that day, but the next day and the day after that. And you're finally just sitting there going, is anyone going to draft this guy? You know, his numbers were pretty good. Pretty good year in college. I'm not sure what everyone's looking at. Even Cleveland drafted the kid from Oregon before him. And, yeah, looks like I'll tell you who feels good about that. Who is feeling himself right now is Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper was watching that. I bet he didn't keep his clothes on during that Shedeur Sanders game. I barely did. Speaking of Colorado Buffaloes making their NFL debuts, pretty nice little debut there for Travis Hunter out in Jacksonville, too. He did play both ways. He played wide receiver, and he did play defensive back. I saw him make a couple of catches. I believe he had two or three catches. And I saw him get into the backfield on a tackle against Pittsburgh's running back, and he got low, and he slowed the guy down, but he definitely missed the tackle, which, you know, he's 160 pounds, whatever he is, so I'm not expecting him to go tackle a ton of running backs here or anything like that. But he had his debut. He played both ways. He didn't play the entire game, but I thought he looked pretty good. You know, these are two of the guys. Everyone was sort of wondering, like, okay, are Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter really good players, or are they just part of the Colorado Deion Sanders Coach Prime hype machine? And that's a fair question. Listen, I'm a Colorado fan. I think that's a fair question to ask. It's a fair question to ask of anybody who comes out of that system, because they have really cornered the market, I would say, in a lot of ways on promoting their guys. And when you have a guy like Hunter, it's a lot easier because he's such a freak. But, like, you know, Shedeur, he gets his number retired, like all that stuff. It's all fair to ask those questions, especially considering that, what, they made it to the Alamo Bowl and got smoked by BYU. It's not like we're talking about a team that was in the playoffs here. And are these players that were on this team, are they really good, or was it all just part of the hype? And I'd say so far, at the very least, Hunter with two catches on two targets and, you know, some, I don't want to say great play in the secondary, but certainly wasn't getting smoked out there or anything like that. And, you know, I look at that. I don't think he made a tackle. Yeah, pretty good. All in all, I'd say for those two guys, a pretty good debut. I'll tell you who did not have a good debut with his new team. That would be Joe Milton. Bazooka Joe, who was lighting it up in camp. I don't know if you saw some of those highlights, some of his throws at camp. Oh, my God. He looked like he. You remember that commercial? I don't know if you remember this, Zach. You're probably too young, but there used to be a commercial for Gatorade where it was like a series of like athletes, but they were doing all this stuff that was CGI. Like Michael Vick was throwing footballs, and he was throwing them like out of the arena. He was throwing them out of the stadium. LeBron James was casually hitting like full court shots, but he was shooting them like normal jump shots and like swishing them from across the court. And they were all fake. It was all a fake thing from Gatorade. But that's what Milton looked like he was doing. Milton looked like that Michael Vick Gatorade commercial where Vick's throwing the ball over the stands. Like that's what Milton was doing. And then he goes out there in an actual game and not quite so good. But no one was as bad, I thought, as Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, boy. You just looked at that throw, Zach. I was like, you got to watch this Kyler Murray pass. It's preseason. It's not the end of the world. Arizona going up against who are they playing? I don't even know. And Murray was scrambling off to the left side. And I think he was looking at either his running back or maybe at Marvin Harrison, who was a little ways back. They were both covered. But he just kind of threw it in between them right to the defense. And It was hideous. Oh, it was just a hideous, hideous play. Funniest thing that happened here in the last couple of days also happened in that Joe Milton Dallas game, and that was CeeDee Lamb, who was on the sideline celebrating a play. I don't know what play it was that had just happened, but it was like a long pass, and Lamb was on the sideline, and he had sort of his back to the play, and he was jumping around and, you know, kind of celebrating with his teammates. Meanwhile, here comes the side judge just sprinting down the sideline. And he just trucks CeeDee Lamb, just absolutely truck sticks him. Lamb goes flying. The ref's there. He's like, "Oh my god!" It was like two bighorn sheep colliding. Like it was a big hit on Lamb, and Lamb got a penalty for standing on the field, which I thought was just insult to injury in a lot of ways. Anyway, not much else to really glean from all of this. I think for the Patriots, I look at a 48-18 win over a team like the Commanders, and I say that's not something to completely ignore. Is it something I'm going to stake a new bet on a new take on the season? They're going to be in 10 games this year? Not based off of this. I'll wait until I see some more before I say something like that. But I will say that the Patriots, as a team, had not scored 40-plus points in 62 games. That includes preseason games. 62 of their previous games, they had not cracked the 40-point threshold. Just think of that, okay? 40 points, I mean, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. But the Patriots, I mean, 62, that's, well, like four seasons worth of games? Like, that's substantial. It's less than that. It's like three seasons worth of games. But that's still a lot, all right? And if this is any kind of indication of what sort of offense and offensive output that we cannot expect on a week-to-week basis but can expect once in a while, I mean, hey, that's a huge step up from these last couple of years. And I don't mean that really as disrespect to Bill O'Brien or Alex Van Pelt or, you know, any of those guys, because I think they were doing the best they could with what they were given. But if this team suddenly becomes a team that can, you know, touch 40 once in a while, then that's a big, big testament, I'd say, to Josh McDaniels, and also a big, big testament to their quarterback, Drake May, who needs to get those strip sacks and mistakes out of his repertoire. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your Patriots-related phone calls if you have any thoughts left over from that game on Friday, and would like to check in on that. And we'll get back into the Red Sox here as well. I also have a thought on Joe Mazzulla and his extension that he just signed. I feel like that all sort of flew under the radar here with everything going on with the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Tom Brady statue, if you want to call in, talk about that as well. Also, I got some emails this week, which I'll get to, that I don't often get. If people want to start emailing me, that's fine. I'll read your emails on the air. I have no problem doing that. It's just that prior to this week, it really hadn't happened very much. And then this week, somehow, I don't know, was there like some thing on like the website where they're like, "Hey, everybody, email Arcan or something." Did I miss like some promotion? I don't know, but I got all these emails this week, so we can keep that up. I'll give you the email address, and you can continue emailing me if you'd like to. I'll read the emails on the air if you have questions and don't like calling in. I know not everyone likes to call in, or sometimes you're listening, you can't call in, so you email a question. I'll answer the question next time I'm on the air, and we'll discuss that in a little bit. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Some leftover thoughts on the extension for Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony, who was almost the hero last night. We'll get into that in just a moment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.